Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio. We're here on Transformation Talk Radio, CRN Digital Talk, and WBLQ 1230 AM Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. I hope you stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and knowledge. Because every week here on Lucid Planet Radio, we have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to become the greatest version of yourself. And remember, you can find out much more on thelucidplanet.com and stream all of our podcasts for free on lucidplanetradio.com, Spreaker, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, etc. Just search for Lucid Planet Radio. I'm told we are in the self-help section of iTunes, in case you were wondering. And you can also connect with me on Facebook and Twitter, The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. And of course, follow my new Instagram feed filled with all the weird and wonderful things I get up to. Also, if you visit the website, you can find out how to nominate yourself or someone else for the show and how to become an advertising partner to our extensive audience that reaches over 11 million homes in the U.S. Wow. So that being said, today's show really is here to address kind of the tense times we are living in, because boy, we are living in some pretty tense times right now. So much conflict and so much perception of conflict kind of being shown to us, you know, politics, ecology, race, religion, economics, really the main components of human life are times of trouble right now. And if the mainstream media is to be believed, you know, we're more divided than ever. You know, we should be more afraid than ever. But should we really be afraid? You know, what if so much of the pain that we're going through and feeling in the conflict is actually growing pain, and the pain that comes with awakening, seeking to repair a broken system, seeking to find togetherness, to find our tribe, to find our community? Maybe we feel alone and isolated and fearful, but it's because A, we're being lied to by media and politicians who are intentioning to exploit and control us. And B, maybe we're missing our village, our very essence of what it is to be human. And so today we are going to talk about the culture of the modern village and what it means to create a global village. And we're going to talk about kind of the common threads and being stewards of our collective future here on Earth. And there's a number of different themes here: thinking global, acting local principles, regional resilience, appropriate technology, regenerative practices, intercultural cooperation, holistic health, living economy, and more. And this can really empower us and engage us. And so to talk about this today and to share this vision for the global village and really like how we get there from this chaos, I'm delighted to welcome Jamaica Stevens to the show. Now, Jamaica is the author and project manager for Reinhabiting the Village, Co-Creating Our Future, which is a really beautiful book. I have it right here in front of me if you haven't seen it. She is also a core organizational consultant with the Village Lab, and she works with whole systems theories empowering people, projects, and organizations to thrive. Jamaica is also an experienced event producer, workshop leader, group facilitator, program director, community organizer, project manager, writer, and life coach. She is very involved with Lucid University and the Lucid University Course Week at Lucidity Festival. Of course, I know our listeners are very familiar with that. And she also has 8 years experience as a consultant and a producer with Lucidity Festival. And she's very focused on urban and rural community village projects, her goal being to reveal the genius of each human and sharing collective intelligence to co-create solutions that benefit all. Woo! And that is exactly what we need right now. So let's please welcome Jamaica Stevens to the show. Hi, Jamaica.
Hi, Miss Kelly. Thank you so much for that intro. So happy to be here with you today.
Oh, it's great to have you. And, you know, absolutely. Jamaica, I think maybe the best place to start is with, you talk about this modern village and reinhabiting the village. What exactly is a modern village? I feel like many of us are very unfamiliar with the concept.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kelly. I think that was part of the project, was revitalizing this sense that village is this antiquated idea, that village is something of our past. And so, you know, here we are in a modern context where most people live in urban environments. You know, we do still have these sort of rural areas, but maybe they're sort of disconnected from the urban environment. And then we also have, you know, the concept of home all places on the planet. And there are people who still live very much intact as village. That's not an antiquated idea. Much of the world's populace actually still lives in a more integrated, interconnected culture, more intergenerationally, more simply in a lot of terms. And so I think there's this sort of narrative that this is an antiquated idea and not still something that's part of our current system or society. And I think it's essential to bring, and the conversation has been brought back to the center. What does this mean to be in our modern village? You know, and as developing nations are being changed by our first world, you know, influence, I think it's essential that we actually not only preserve villages that still have intact culture, but that we look at our own cultural sort of disconnection and identify places that we can be more interdependent, we can be more locally focused, we can have relationships of people and place. And that's a really core theme that I bring through the Reinhabiting the Village project, is really looking at the intersection and relationships of what it means to belong to a place and to belong to a people, to be really integrated with your neighbors, you know, with intergenerational connection, you know, sharing our resources, our knowledge, our skills, not this sense of isolationism and disconnection, but a place where you're interdependent, you're weaving, you're sharing the gifts, and that what you do impacts and ripples and does have the influence on the lives around you. I think we have a false narrative right now that we're not inherently interconnected to each other. And I think we have a really deeply false narrative that we're not inherently in a relationship with the place that we have a daily interaction with, and that we influence that place and the place influences us. So this is a dialogue where it's actually showing up in a lot of places that we have a lot to learn about these codes of how to live more holistically, more connected again to the place being something that we have a deep relationship and know and understand that ecology and the ecosystem and ourselves as part of it, and a more cooperative way of working within our communities and in our cities and our neighborhoods and our towns. So it's a little bit of why I think this modern village is a dialogue and conversation, and one we need to discover together. I'll say that too. I don't think that there's it should be this way. The other thing I want to bring in that's so essential with village is it has to be true and authentic to people of place. So we couldn't say take a global village model and just place it anywhere. That's part of the colonial culture. We actually have to create the conditions for the authenticity of that place and its unique ecology and those people and their unique expression to flourish with systems that can also be integrated across those distinctions, you know, where we can have an interdependence across those localized distinctions. So that's what we're talking about when we say modern village.
And how do we begin to create that interdependence and those conditions where these communities can begin to thrive? I'm so curious.
Yeah, well, again, the complexity of that question is being tackled beautifully and fortunately by many people across many spectrums and sectors and in many parts of the globe. So part of it is starting to create more commonplace for the dialogue to continue. We work with collective intelligence, meaning between us, we have more insight and more perspective than anyone could have. So we're looking at ways to create more cooperative communication. And we have this thing called the internet that's really rapidly transformed our species communication capacity for the very purpose of collective intelligence, which is something nature does all the time. So we're mimicking this way that nature is communicating and sharing wisdom so that the whole system can advance. Luckily, that's happening. And in ways I would say it's essential that it happens on a very personal level first. And that's a lot of the people who are in this work are like, first, it has to come from a fundamental shift within us as individuals, the way that we make our daily choices. It has to matter to you. It can't be some grand esoteric theory that doesn't actually apply to every human.
So important.
Yeah. Like my life can be made better by this. I can be made, you know, more generative, more happy, more healthy if I cooperate, if I, you know, think about the food I eat, where my water comes from, take care of those resources, know my neighbors, you know, learn from my grandparents and help our children, you know, to feel whole and welcomed into a society that cares for their, you know, their being and their learning, their growth. All these things are actually very simple and very fundamental. And every human being both has the right and I think the deep longing for that. So it has to start on a very personal level. And then you can look at from the consciousness shift in personal growth and personal capacity, then you can look at your interpersonal, your the most intimate relationships that you have all around you. How can we make those more cooperative, more informed, more holistic, more healthy, more vital, more joyful? And then you can look at like, okay, collectives of people that create a community that start to diversify skill sets, tools and resources we can trade, knowledge we can share, you know, oh, you're the artisan that does this and I do that. We can create a system between us of everybody gets a little piece of something and together we now are all more thriving and we all steward the planet. We can share a garden together. You know, we can share tools. We can, you know, go volunteer at the school and everybody's children is being taught our skills, that kind of thing. And then maybe bioregional and then maybe globally. So a lot of us are looking at it can't just be a top-down system of global shift, although we need those shifts to come. We have to build it from the ground up and have it be really like relevant to people of place and those very deep connections of relationships and then make that broad and fast in terms of dissemination, broad scale adoption. And that is the quest that's in front of a lot of us who work in this work is that it has to be both deeply personal, but we also need rapid adoption of these ideas and these principles and a shift to this way of living. So that's kind of this place that we play with the micro and the macro need to sort of evolve, co-evolve together.
So much going on here. And even what you're describing, it reminds me a lot of like the indigenous wisdom traditions and the knowledge that kind of humans have had and used and that has been forgotten. And now we're rediscovering it. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back here with Jamaica Stevens on Lucid Planet Radio, we're going to discuss more about what it means to re-inhabit the village and how we create our culture and how we can create a better world for ourselves. So we will see you right after the break.
Yes, you can be the highest version of yourself. Wellness coach and natural beauty expert Dr. Agnes Renkel is on a mission to help you play the game of your life. Win in vibrancy, health, and beauty because you deserve it. Dr. Agnes goes beyond the limits in her personal coaching sessions to revolutionize health and wellness. Now is the time to unleash your true power. For more information, visit dragnesfrankel.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is the wonderful Jamaica Stevens, who is talking with us about re-inhabiting the village, co-creating our future, and so much more. But before we continue, Jamaica, I just want to make sure that everybody knows how to contact you to find out more about the re-inhabiting the village project and other projects you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. You can definitely find me on Facebook, but also, and we do have a Re-inhabiting the Village page on Facebook, which we do a lot of updates and also share a lot about what's happening within sort of the movement of organizational partners that we're aligned with. And then also going to reinhabitingthevillage.com. We have the book, the workbook, and the ebook available, and it also gives updates on what's going on with the project. There's definitely more development coming in the works for more materials and some interactive learning opportunities, some immersives and some courses. So keep your eye out on the reinhabitingthevillage.com for more information and to get a copy of the book and to contact us if you'd like maybe some work with your organization or your community too.
Perfect. So much to talk about. I have so many things I want to, definitely want to talk about the coursework as well and Lucid University and all that. But I thought maybe it'd be nice. I would love to hear as well, like you're an activist, you do this amazing work for our community, for many communities and the planet. What brought you here to this place, Jamaica? How did you end up doing this for a living?
Yeah, well, offering it briefly, I think that I always, coming from my own personal story of not having a strong family that was capable of showing me, I think I always had a hunger for understanding family and community and culture. And very young, I started getting into, you know, okay, if my family doesn't really work, my origin family doesn't feel supportive and strong, and found community and friends, sometimes through the dance movement, sometimes through festival culture, but felt family, felt such a resonance, felt such a sense of home that I started getting deeper involved and participating and producing and being a part of it. I just fell in love with the culture of what felt like, kindreds, like-minded soul. And I think that that plus being a body worker and a healer, looking at path of healing as a lifelong journey, and then becoming a mother, quite frankly, becoming a mother in my young years, the concept of taking all of those things that I was searching for in terms of what does community really mean? What does family mean? And realizing that I wanted to be a part of building a world for my child and wanted her to have that sense of community and family. So she's really been my greatest muse, is what that is to say there's another generation and it really puts you in your place in terms of there might be work we do that doesn't finish in our generation, but that means that we show up anyway for it. We become the ancestors for the children who are coming. We make the decisions we can and do the work we can now for the potential for our future to move in a different direction. So I've come up in a time when we are facing great challenge and conflict in the world. And instead of turning away from that conflict, the love I have for my child and the people I care for and my inspiration through festival culture turned me towards solutions and towards strategy, towards ways that we could improve, you know, and I, through that, just followed the path of listening deeply to how can I be in service to helping shift the culture, the consciousness, and, mostly helping grow a sense of community because it was so essential. And that drew me on the path, you know, Tribal Convergence Network and years of gathering people and leadership in local place and building a sense of a network of family, tribe, kindred, whatever that word is, definitely through festival culture, but beyond. This is more than just a festival movement. This is a human global movement. And through my experiences with festival culture, I have gotten to learn experiences and skills that have allowed me to interface with people of all different backgrounds and, you know, focal points and socioeconomic classes and cultures, and traveled, you know, around parts of the world to learn from and be a student of culture. So it's really been a path that's unfolded before me, that I've arisen and shown up and said, what can I do with my one small precious life that may be in service to something coming? And in following that and listening and being willing to just offer service, I think I've been guided to a lot of amazing experiences. And all of my learning has been experiential. I've done some amazing things via the connections I've made with other people who've said, I see you, I believe in you, our relationship matters, let's work together, let's collaborate. So much more is possible through the collaborative efforts that I've been invited into, including, you know, re-inhabiting the village, et cetera. That was a collaborative effort. And although I'm its, you know, core steward, it was absolutely brought forth by Keyframe, you know, by the team and by all of our backers and community supporters, featuring, you know, people from our community. So this is, I think, a co-evolving. I'm being changed just as much as I'm helping change the culture and people that I get to call family and tribe and community and kindred.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important and also very inspiring. And good news flash to everybody out there. If you see conflict and pain and struggle and injustice in the world, you can actually make a difference. And maybe it will require a certain level of sacrifice or really making yourself of service. But we all have that power, and we all have that ability to step into that power. Whoever told you you can't step into that power is wrong. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, I just want to put that out there. Yeah, absolutely.
Vital. It's actually so important. That's one of my biggest things. You know, I've done a lot of like workshops and empowerment courses and all sorts of public speaking. And really what it comes down to is none of us are any more or less special than anyone else. We all are absolutely inherent, unique. We have a genius. We have a gift. We are here for a very incredible reason. And as we unlock that gift and have the courage to bring it forward, I think life meets us with the potential and opportunity to expand and to grow. I think leadership is a natural occurrence of someone who feels in alignment and in balance with themselves and knows that the story that we're being fed is in fact a story, and that every one of us is the author or the authority of our own decisions and choices. And that when we're unified together, we have an incredible amount of power. And every single one of us is a leader. In fact, we need that right now. We need all humans to act as the authors and write the story with their daily choices and actions and thoughts, you know, to bring more of a sense of our authorship and authority to the focus.
Yes, 100%. And that's why I think that this model that you're presenting with the modern village is very powerful, because it does help give people guidelines and structure. I know you call it the code of the village, that there are things that we can very actively change in our lives that don't require, you know, any money. It doesn't require us to really change anything so huge around us. It's just the way we perceive and interact with the world. And that alone is enough to send those ripples out there, I truly believe. And so Jamaica, maybe I thought you could share with us some of these codes of the village that are applicable in our daily lives, and also some of the indicators that we're kind of moving towards more regenerative principles.
Yeah, I'm happy to. And I also do want to say for your listeners that we have the workbooks available. The workbook was intended to sort of not give you the, like, here's the hard, fast rules, but here are some helpful processes. Here are some helpful exercises that you can use, some practices that you can use that strengthen your own organization or project or community's collaboration. And I really believe that is one of the codes of the village, is learning how to be truly collaborative and learning how to share between us what makes us greater than any one of us could ever be, while still honoring the individual. So there's a sense of healthy individualism meeting interdependence. And I think that your sovereignty meeting interdependence is definitely a code of the village. Also, the sense of intergenerational value and connection. I want to say how essential it is. In fact, it's the same thing as having our ancestors and some of the indigenous wisdom that's still held on this planet meeting the modern culture. It's the same thing with having our elders and our youth intact and having there be bridges of learning and understanding so that wisdom is passed down from each generation. So even that, even building relationships between elders and children is an important part of the village. I think your economy, where you put your money, is actually more powerful than we give credit. The things that you kind of vote with your dollar, do you support, you know, do you support local economy, local business? You know, do you protect your local food shed and make it possible for more of the foods to come from place and not need to be distributed or transported long distances? Our water, most people don't really actually know, where does your water come from? Even that, even awareness and understanding of watershed and therefore watershed issues, we can become advocates at a local level to make sure that the policies put in place and the industry that is, you know, feeding off of our water supplies, that we are good voices and advocates and we don't sort of turn a blind eye to like, oh, well, water's just a system somewhere out there and not realize what's happening in your own city or your own region around water issues. You can, you know, participate in that. I think volunteering and service is a code of the village that's essential, that when we come from a place of sharing and generosity, that we have so much more to offer and give and uplifting all peoples, helping people who maybe have challenges or are less fortunate is such a fundamental thing, not only to teach our children, but to act on in principle, because we as a society are only as great as the kind of lowest common denominator. And so lifting up all people is essential. I'm trying to drop these kind of fast because I know we're going to break. But another thing would be creating intersection points, creating places to gather. The public piazza was eradicated intentionally because the power of us gathering together to share thoughts and build relationships made us more powerful. So reclaiming central spaces, collective gardens, sharing food, street corners with picnic benches and kiosks to share information about what your neighbors are up to, all of these things start to create place as a natural flowing intersection of relationship. And even those things are something that everybody can do in their own daily life that start to change the culture and the consciousness of feeling disconnected and isolated versus feeling like, I know the place I live, I know the people I live with, and the small little thing, garden in your, you know, in your sidewalk, you know, share that food with your neighbor. The simplest act can actually start to create a relationship of value and purpose and intention between people. So that would be a little bit in the time we have of some codes of the village. There's certainly more in the book to be shared.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about all of this, particularly addressing the watershed issues and the intersection points and gathering in context of the Standing Rock Water Protectors event that's happening right now in terms of the protest, obviously, of the DAPL. So we're going to talk about all of that and more when we come back from the short break here on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly featuring Jamaica Stevens. So if you want to know what's up, stick with us. We'll be right back.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-9000. 972-5366.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and skyofangels.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back here on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I have Jamaica Stevens here, who is talking with us about re-inhabiting the village, the global shift of consciousness, and a lot more. And Jamaica, I think that there are so many important issues that we could talk about. And I think that perhaps one of the most important ones is the conflict that we're experiencing right now, this clash between the old way, between good and evil. There's just a lot of depth here. And there's a lot of people feeling very, like I said at the start, isolated, alone, upset. And I think one of the best areas to start with, you know, when we talk about the codes of the village and kind of being accountable is with our watershed and our ability to protest. And now you were telling me during the break about how you've been working on a project with Standing Rock called Protectors Alliance. And I would love for you to share a little bit about this.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. I think it's super vital to be having these dialogues this time just to build even a sense of camaraderie, like we're here together. Whatever is happening, we're here. And so how can we be more empowered in facing what we're looking at together? With Standing Rock, I'll go to that first. Mm-hmm. I honor their perfection of, and I don't mean this in this esoteric way of like glossing over the incredible tension and delicacy of the situation. And yet I trust that we are at a time where we can no longer put under the rug the incredible amount of grief and oppression and disregard and destruction of our environment and of culture. And so I feel like this is a acupuncture point of a greater systemic issue of colonialism that's being really faced right now. And so I give, and it's not a perfect situation. I want to say that too. Obviously, I will say I stand on the side of standing for the right of the indigenous to protect their water, their land, and their culture, and how that actually is a greater message right now from corporate interests and from those who would continue to degradate our ecologies. And it's not perfect as well. It brings up a lot of the healing within multiple cultures that has to happen. So with Standing Rock, watching it grow, watching its intensity, watching how it went from being sort of a smaller issue at a local level to really now kind of being kind of the poster child of like a greater conflict of forces.
It's like a symbol of kind of everything.
It is. And that's why it's gotten, at least I'll say, it's both why it's gotten so much of our community's attention and why it's been so systematically actually hidden as much as it can from regular mainstream dialogue. And that's why the viral media and our presence there is essential to keep the witness consciousness and what's happening so that it can't just be shoved under the rug anymore. So I say that with what came about was a lot of people that I knew, I have a lot of friends out there, a lot of allies, a lot of people I've worked with through festival culture and organization. And the more that our community said, we actually have a vested interest in being allies, one thing we were noticing is that we're still learning. And I want to come from that humble place of like, we're still learning how to walk interculturally with respect and appropriateness. All of us are. And so a lot of what was kind of happening in the beginning is going out there well-intended, but maybe going out there still naive to certain ways of Indigenous protocol. So
I wanted to address that before we get started. Yeah, all the reports of people treating it like Burning Man or people treating it like a festival. How do you respond to something like that?
Well, our response to that was compassion first and realizing that we are still learning, that there's a lot that we have not all been taught. And from that, that's okay to be naive and still learning. And yet that's where we come as students and simply ask permission. Come and respect that when we're entering into another culture or someone else's lands, we're guests, understand the people of place. And how do I relate to you in a respectful way? Also, because Indigenous has been, you know, Native American has been kind of lumped together as if it's one thing. It is so many microcosms of multiple cultures that each had their unique expression of how you would respect them. So the go-to with Indigenous culture is first and foremost, what is the protocol of those people of that place? And so the way that we approached Protectors Alliance was we wanted to go and help unify some of the kind of festival community or, you know, whatever this other name for what our community is, more maybe emergent community, alternative community, whatever it is. We wanted to go out and to say, let's be good allies. Let's be a little bit more coordinated in our effort. Let's make sure that we're going out bringing the resources they need and that we have accurate information about what's happening on the ground, what's needed, who do we connect with, how do we approach it. And so very rapidly, actually, just over this last month, we've developed the protectorsalliance.org website. And not only does it have sort of updated information about how you can participate, the calls you can make, what to do if you're staying home but want to support, what to know if you're going out there to be prepared, to come ready, especially as winter is coming. And then we also created a whole cultural resources page. It has legal resources to understand if you are choosing to be on the front lines, what your legal ramifications are and what your rights are. It has conflict resolution strategies and different organizations that facilitate conflict resolution. So you feel strong in your capacity to be a mediator and a facilitator if that's what's called upon. And then also it has cultural protocols, and there's a whole listing of things, both from the very specific people of the Sioux Tribal Council, because Standing Rock is on Sioux territory, but also general ways to, as a Westerner especially, or maybe a different culture, how do we interface? What are some general basic protocols? So all that information is on the protectorsalliance.org. And then we really rallied our communities to say, we stand united, saying we stand with Standing Rock, and we choose to do that in a way that's respectful. We choose to do that in a way that asks permission of how we can best be in support and keep the Indigenous at the forefront of the movement. We have a lot of leadership and organizational capacity, but to go in and sort of superimpose our leadership on top of the leadership that was there, that is a continuation of colonial culture. And we went in saying, what can we do to work with you? What projects do you need to get ready for winter? And then we partnered with Give Love, which is Patricia Arquette's organization, which is kind of a response in crises, particularly to the composting toilets. That's the project we're now funding. They're building it on the ground now. Because this is one of the places where it's like, well, here's water protectors, and yet how their waste refuse is being handled is still in chemical toilets that are freezing for the winter. Okay, that doesn't work in integrity with the deeper value of the Indigenous to say we want to be protectors of the water. So this was the project identified by the Tribal Council, and that they wanted us to help bring our community's resources and team together around. So it's as much about that project completing, which we are in the GoFundMe phase if people want to help donate to that, as much as it was about the way we want to go about supporting right now. So that's Protectors Alliance. But generally, I want to just say that this issue, why it's so paramount, is because it is bringing to the surface that we are a country founded on the taking of another culture. And until we come into great healing and allow there to be the anger and the grief that needs to come up in us and in those of people of place who feel like we have demolished and oppressed them for a very long time, I feel like we want to avoid the fact that we also were once people of place in other places, and disconnected from our own roots and the grief of not knowing our own culture intactness, we came and took upon another culture. This, to me, even more so than is it about this militarized force and these water protectors, for me, it's about, are we ready to make repair and reparation? Are we ready to face the grief of the destruction we've enabled? And are we willing to stand united to say no more and to face it within ourselves so we can be good allies and find the healing in between those who say we're all here to unify and find a way forward to protect our ecology and our culture? And in that unification, I feel, is the potential for healing these corporate interests that we basically have just been unfettered. You know, they've just been unfettered. They're just like this bulldozer that comes in. But I feel like the unification of people in place and those with hearts open to hear and listen is a powerful force not to be underestimated. But we need to get unified first. You know,
we got to get our own selves unified. I guess my question is within, I know we don't have a lot of time, but within this movement, there's a lot of people who, it's very upsetting to see what's happening. And it's very upsetting to know that this has been the tradition, right? That literally the indigenous people's rights don't matter. It's all about corporate interests. We're kind of raping the earth in so many areas, taking all her lubrication out and all this. But people, what people are saying is, do you have a right to protest even if you use petroleum-based products, even if you put oil in your car, even if the food you're eating? And they're saying you don't really have a right to protest until you're walking everywhere, growing your own food, living off the grid, not using plastic. How do you respond to that?
I think that's a very important, authentic dialogue. And I am one who has changed parts of my life so that as I have this dialogue with people, I can at least say, you know what, I actually have a composting toilet at home. I live on a farm. We grow as much food as I can. I still drive a car. Like the reality is we're indoctrinated into a system that we were all born in. And it's going to take a little bit of time to unravel ourselves from that system. But our awareness, our consciousness, and our intention of action to do what we can to move towards better strategies, while also some big systems thinkers are on board right now. There is innovation. There is ecotech. We also have to be advocates of bringing forward the technology that's already accessible to us to transform the systems that, you're right, even the indigenous are inherently woven into. There's very few people who can say they live on the planet and aren't an extractive. We aren't extractive as a species. We are extractive as a species, but we have to face that together. And that's what it brings up. It's not saying we're right and you're wrong. It's saying we have to stop and pay attention and use more of our wisdom about transforming the system that's available. And if we just keep going and pretending like the system we currently have is regenerative, we will end our species on this planet. So we have to start saying no where we can and bringing to light the fact that these systems are so inherently born in us, and do what we can with where we are, with what we have. That's more empowering than being like, oh, well, it's already too late. It's already done. I don't believe in that. I believe we absolutely have time to change course, but we have to have very authentic, humble dialogue and take personal action and collective action to do what we can to make those things in integrity in our own life, because we can start doing that. We can start making those changes now, but we need a lot of people to start making them and make it personal.
I love that. And Jamaica, thank you so much. That was one of the best answers I have heard to that question. So I really appreciate that. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show here on Lucid Planet Radio. We're going to talk more about what those changes are that we can make in our lives between interconnectedness and ecology and all of the different things that we can do to start putting things in the direction that we need for ourselves and the planet. So stick with us and we'll be right back to wrap up the show.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism,
passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I'm here with Jamaica Stevens, and we've been talking about the global village and the global shift of consciousness and all of these really big topics that are very hard to contain in a one-hour show. It's been great to have you on, Jamaica, and I wanted to bring up, because we were talking a little bit during this break, about how contributing to composting toilets to Standing Rock is something that can be done to help. And it's something that actually comes kind of from the festival scene. And people talk a lot about like festivals, it's just a giant party, everyone's getting wasted. But actually, there is a level of kind of co-creating community and the village within the festival scene that then can be kind of replicated and used in other contexts. And I feel like that's kind of what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. And I do want to acknowledge it's big, y'all. I mean, it's mighty times we're in. I want to say that before we get started, because I know I'm one person who has a lot of passion and heart for what we're talking about, Kelly. And I also want to acknowledge that it's powerful times and there's a lot of emotion running. And I definitely think my quest is to invite us into how can we become more empowered in facing the tremendous task in front of us. And how can we do that with a whole lot more love? You know, and a whole lot more loving kindness and compassion. So I want to say that first. Mm-hmm. I want to acknowledge that there's big topics we're getting into in a short amount of time.
Yes.
Yeah. In terms of that, you know, again, like I was starting to say before the break, we are also woven into a system, into a global system that is extractive. And so there's unweaving to do. And there are ways that we personally and collectively can begin doing that by making shifts in our own life to have the systems of our own daily habits, you know, hopefully aim more towards less extractive, less impactful measures. And that can be done. Every human can have that capacity to simplify and choose that path. In terms of what you were saying with like the composting toilets at Standing Rock, you know, one of the gifts of this is that, yes, it's answering an urgent need, but a lot of what's happening out at Standing Rock now is permanent infrastructure that's more environmentally friendly is starting to pour in to this reservation. So you have these people who were already living more coherently with the land, and through the oppression of our culture, that was stripped away. And now they're not necessarily, a lot of their culture is still working to teach their children the ways and keep these traditions alive and to support with some of these modern, you know, eco-tech themes and concepts that helps bring those systems back into balance, I think is huge. I think it's tremendous to help leverage this opportunity to, like, let's all stand for the water by doing what we can to protect and use our water wisely. And that can happen in your own home every day. And so check out the resources. I'm not going to go into them here about how you can use your water more wisely. That's one of the biggest things that we can do. And also, obviously, this is an oil issue. So look at the ways that you can have a less carbon footprint. But I do want to say that I happen to come from festival culture as a background, but I'm sure it's far beyond that. But what we did in culture of festival is really, we are prototyping villages. We have to have anywhere from 500 for micro village to, you know, Burning Man does up to what I think like 70,000 now. So here we have all these people who amass for the short term, and you have to have systems of transportation. You have to have food systems, water systems, waste systems. We have been prototyping by creating temporary village. How do we attend to the needs of all these people? And because we're saying, you know, hey, we're here to promote consciousness, we actually, as a festival community of producers, had to start really looking at our own value system and saying, well, we're saying conscious, but then there's all this trash, as an example, left over. Or we're saying conscious, but look, we still have chemical toilets that we're bringing in. And so we all started to realize that it's not really a transformational culture and festival unless we're actually changing the ways we run our systems. So many of the festivals I've worked with have started to look at sustainability programs and single-use campaigns, bringing more local purveyors in. So you're honoring like the local artisan, the local food producer, looking at how we can take all of our waste and actually take it to the recycling, compost the food scraps, build compostable toilets. What it birthed was we're actually creating micro villages and the systems of better energy technology and efficiency. Lucidity is an example. We bring in a solar rig and do some of our stages on solar. You know, we actually are doing impact studies on the land that our venue's on and working with the local county to see how we can actually do restoration work throughout the year to lessen the impact of having 6,000 to 7,000 people on a property. This is the kind of thing where it started to grow beyond the party and started to really have a purpose. A lot of these action days that have been happening where, you know, you come to see your favorite musician, but beforehand you go, you know, put in a permaculture garden in the city next to where you're going to come and participate. Even Lucidity Course Week, which I'm the program coordinator of, is a week-long learning of 5 different courses that happen with 150 students last year. I think we'll be up to 200 this year for educational opportunities. Come learn and grow, and then you're attending the festival. So we've also been transforming access to education and skills sharing and demonstration of, you know, cob building and networking opportunities. Like, actually, the festivals have been producing micro villages. And from that, now there's permanent land that a lot of people in our community are becoming the stewards of, to create this network of not just the eco village. It's like 30 people who kind of work with themselves as a small family unit and become more resilient, but actually a network. We call it a nodal network of these places that have relationship and agreed values and protocols. And then people like Numundo is an ally of ours, where you can go plug and play. I am a person who wants to learn and experience. I want to share. I want to volunteer. And now we're going to match you with a place, an eco village, a learning center, you know, happening globally. So you can go and plug in, take a permaculture class, offer your service. We're starting to see that from festival culture is emerging actually a rich, robust village, not only village of places being formed to practice regenerative living and then demonstrate that, but also interact interculturally with other places and learn and share together through educational opportunities. So it's been powerful to watch the festival scene grow into how it's actually being a forerunner and an innovator of the potential for how we can live in our urban and rural environments by some of the things we've gotten to practice through temporary environments. But it can't just be temporary and it can't just be for the party. And that's what's been changing, is it's time to be more permanent and time to sort of lay down some roots and build continuity of these ideas that have been innovated in these festival environments.
Isn't that so fun, how something that starts as just like a joyous thing can actually change the world?
It's amazing, girl. And it's still joyous. My heart, and this is what I want to say, because I know we're towards the end. I want to say that if you only listen to mainstream media, you know, and if you only interface with folks whose perspective is limited to everything they've already experienced, then we are facing some incredibly challenging times. I really want to convey the message that if you're curious, if you're willing to invoke your own creativity, your own personal passion in what you want to engage in the world, and go find the people who engage in the things that you're passionate about. It could be anything, anything you're passionate about. I believe that when we follow our passion and the things that matter to us, and we become involved and informed, we show up, we participate, we meet like-minded people, we naturally find community of people that help us feel more resilient you know, more supported, that it's not just us alone out in the wide, wide world trying to face this. It's us together saying we can bring the spirit of love and creativity and collaboration and cooperation into also making tremendous, great, wide sweeping change. This is happening. And I love to share with people to keep your eyes open and learn and follow the little thread of your curiosity about finding where people are doing this in your own location, you know, in organizations right near you. I'll name Blessed Unrest by Paul Hawken. Beautiful book that actually says this movement is a global movement, organically emergent, decentralized in its leadership, that is about people of place uplifting and finding the celebration of interconnection and interdependence. This is what's happening on the planet. And I feel like we need more of these stories to shift the narrative to we are a co-creative species. We really are inherently a co-creative species. This is our home. And if we find the way together to get through the wounding and the fear and the grief and the confusion, and we align ourselves with our own passion and our own truth and our own knowledge and those who are willing to work with us, literally anything is possible. And I say that maybe it's a cheerleading sentence, but I not only
thank
say
you.
It, I believe it.
Thank you, Jamaica. I appreciate it. We got to go. We are out of time. So
that's it.
Thank you to everybody for tuning in. And I will see you all next week, where I will be featuring scientist, designer, and author Dr. Bruce Dahmer on the show to talk about the intersection of science, space, and virtual reality. So if you're a nerd like me, don't miss this one. And thank you again, Jamaica Stevens, for coming on today. Light and love, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.